the smartest marketers from all walks of life, in every industry, talking about the latest trends, opportunities, and challenges. Insights from marketing executives at organizations like National Geographic, IBM, and the Baltimore Ravens. And tips from business authors and experts known around the world. Ways to improve your community's marketing, starting now, right here on the Marketing Smarts Podcast.
Marketing Smarts listeners, are you ready for a different destination, a journey that you may have not been on, a place that you might actually feel a little uncomfortable? And maybe, yes, I may have made that a little bit grandiose, but today we are traveling into the metaverse. That's right. Patrick Wilkins is going to talk to us today about how digital creators, aka you, the B2B marketers, should navigate the metaverse. We're going to talk about what keeps him up at night pertaining to B2B marketers in the metaverse. What the heck is the metaverse? How can you get started? Why is it important now and in the future? And there's some great success stories along the way, not to mention hurdles, potholes, success, and words of wisdom. Patrick Wilkins is the vice president of operations at The Soul Publishing, where he sets, implements, and drives short and long-term operational and business development strategies across the company. Patrick also spearheads numerous initiatives across the company. These include growing additional revenue streams via licensing and D2C products, increasing the media company's owned and operated content portfolio through acquisitions, and the continuous drive forward toward operational excellence. Based at the company headquarters in Cyprus, Patrick brings more than 14 years of experience as an executive leader in the digital and entertainment industries. As vice president of mobile operations at Spill Games, he was a key player in the turnaround of the business and subsequent sale to Azerion. At Azerion, Patrick continued as vice president of mobile operations and oversaw the integration of Spill Games into Azerion. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a conversation of a different color. I think that you're going to see some things that maybe you haven't seen or thought of before. But let's go ahead and hear a word from our sponsor.
Are you looking for great curated content specific to you, the B2B marketer? Want to have fun while also learning valuable information to help you succeed on a daily basis? Then you're in luck. Look no further. This week's Marketing Smarts podcast is brought to you by the Marketing Smarts live show. That's right. You can join us live every Monday where we shine the spotlight on you, the community members, share fresh B2B news, several top-notch curated articles to help you be a better marketer, and of course, have tons of fun along the way. If you want even more B2B marketing education with the ability to ask questions and engage with the rest of the audience, tune in every Monday at 10 a.m. Eastern for the Marketing Smarts live show. You won't regret the additional B2B learning you'll be adding to your life. Now, let's get back to this episode of the Marketing Smarts podcast.
Okay, that's enough shenanigans. Let's go ahead and get you, the listener, into the good stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, Marketing Smarts listeners, you know it's your boy George B. Thomas, and I'm super excited because this conversation is actually a conversation that I knew was coming, maybe made me a little bit sick to think about because I know how little I know about it, but that's why we talk to the experts. And so today we're talking with Patrick Wilkins, and we're talking about how digital creators should navigate the, here's the word, ladies and gentlemen, metaverse. And so I am super ready to dig into the good stuff. Patrick, I like to start with maybe, because here's the thing, you're in the space, you're thinking about this, you're probably like levels, definitely above me and maybe some of the Marketing Smarts listeners. What keeps you up at night when you think about creators, B2B marketers, and this metaverse conversation?
Yes, great point. What keeps me up at night is really the opportunities that the metaverse has in store for our industry, for virtual influencers, for B2B marketing. I think it is an environment that hasn't been explored fully. I don't think it will be explored fully for the next couple of years. I think it will develop. So yeah, staying ahead of the curve, you know, trying to experiment and, you know, finding new ways to engage with the audience. That's really what keeps me and also the teams here at Digital Publishing spinning. Yeah.
So I know I love this idea of, you used the word opportunity, and I am going to go off the beaten path real quick here for a second. You mentioned opportunity. What would you say to the creator or the marketer who is like, yeah, opportunity, good talk, talk, but I'm like super scared to dip my toe in the water because I just don't even understand. What would you say to them?
Yeah, they're in good company. I don't think a lot of people fully understand the metaverse. It is really ever changing. You know, what the metaverse has been a year and a half ago or 2 years ago is very different to what people would consider the metaverse today. And I'm pretty sure that in 2 years, it's going to be quite different to what you and I are discussing today. So when somebody is, you know, nervous and says they don't have a lot of experience, my advice would be, you know, jump right in, explore it, because the audience, the fans, the people that are using the metaverse are quite forgiving, right? They would appreciate people trying to, you know, push the envelope and try new things. So yeah, you fit right in.
I love this idea of an explorative mindset of going in and just seeing what it is, testing it. But I also love that you brought up it's different now than it was 2 years ago, and it'll be different probably even in 2 years. And so right now, as we sit, you know, it's February 21st of 2023. How the heck do you explain to somebody what the metaverse is? AKA in a question, Patrick, can you tell me what is the metaverse?
My definition of the metaverse is, and I think it's important to differentiate that the metaverse in 5 years from now might be this holistic entity where you, you know, move in with an avatar and then you can jump between multiple instances, gaming instances, e-commerce instances, shopping instances, you know, social media instances. But today, the metaverse, I would say, is fragmented, right? You're talking about Roblox being a metaverse. You're talking about, you know, Facebook having metaverse options. You're talking about the Sandbox being a metaverse place. So you have multiple different products, platforms, and services that all would fit under the definition metaverse. So you can have, you know, your metaverse experience in Roblox, for example, or the Soul Publishing. We partnered with a company called Lockwood Publishing. They have a game called Avec in Life, where we had Pola, one of our virtual artists, to actually give a concert for 2.2 million people. And then in the future, 5 years down the road, or maybe, you know, a little bit sooner, people from other instances could seamlessly join this concert. Today, that's not possible. But yes, that's, I think, is my very high level definition of how I look at the metaverse today.
No, I love this, though, because there are some words, Patrick, that marketers probably honed into real, real quick. You mentioned e-commerce, you mentioned shopping, you mentioned 2.2 million people. You mentioned social media, right? These are things that marketers care about. And so the idea of understanding the what is actually many things that historically marketers have looked for in the real world, the real verse, if you will. And now they're going to find it in the metaverse. Here's the thing that I want to ask you, because we make time for what is important. But I think I even want to put a layer of time on this question that I'm going to ask. And that is, why is the metaverse important to B2B marketers? I could leave it there, but I want to actually ask it in a way, why is the metaverse important to B2B marketers now versus in a year, 2 years, 5 years?
When I look at the metaverse and the B2B marketing opportunities, it is really a blue ocean scenarios, right? Like the cost per thousand views, for example, or other performance marketing related KPIs are relatively low compared to already established platforms. So you could probably buy eyeballs and a share of voice in the metaverse for cents in the dollar compared to doing this on a much more established platform, let's say YouTube or Facebook. To give you a bit of an idea, and you talked about people spend time where, you know, where they feel it's important, it's necessary. When we started looking into the metaverse, we had Pola, which is a virtual influencer who's already been doing music, who is a virtual star, so she's very native to the metaverse. I think that made it easier for us to experiment. But we started with a very small proof of concept. We actually took our YouTube videos, four or five of our YouTube videos, and we placed them inside Avec in Life. as a viewing experience. And we then compared the watch time, we compared how many people are watching it, in what geographies people are watching it. And what we did find is that the viewing behavior in this environment, within the metaverse, within Avakin Life, is actually very similar to the performance of real people sitting in front of their PCs or using their phones and consuming our content. So what that means is, when you give people an opportunity in an environment that they like, that they feel comfortable in, and for some people, especially younger people, that is the metaverse, and you give them the opportunity to do other things that they would usually do in real life, they would still continue and prefer doing those things in the metaverse rather than getting out of the metaverse and do the same action in the real, let's call it, environment. So I think that really shows you that on the one hand, you have low cost for user acquisition. On the other hand, you have, you know, very engaged users that behave very similar to how they would react in real life. I do think that is a massive opportunity for, you know, for B2B marketing folks to get in now. And when you get in now, again, you can make mistakes. You're going to be, you know, having first mover advantage. And in a year from now, in 2 years from now, once the audience matured, you already have, you know, a loyal fan base, you already know your tools, you already know whom to partner with, and you're going to be much better positioned to sell your services, products, or whatever else, you know, in the metaverse. So definitely get in early and, experiment with.
I think it's super interesting because, one, I heard in that, by the way, that might be a rewind point, Marketing Smarts listeners, because I heard, one, that you were able to measure the success or the viewing of the videos that you put in there. Two, I heard you talk about, especially the younger folks are comfortable with being there. So if you're looking for the up and coming market in 5 years, 10 years, when they have lots of money in their wallet and can buy your products and services, you're going to be first mover advantage. Which the third thing I heard that I think might be important to the marketers right now, instead of a year and 2 years, is in today's economic times, if you can get ads, if you can place things in a way where it's less expensive, more budget friendly, well, then that's a marketer dream. People, friendly budget, and first mover advantage. So here's my next question, because now marketers are like, okay, I've heard enough of the positive things. If I want to dive into this, you said the word fragmented earlier, Patrick. How the heck is a marketer to even know where to get started? Like, usually you can be like, it's Facebook, it's one destination, it's this ads, it's kind of these two destinations. But with a fragmented metaverse, is there one place, one or two places where immediately you go, okay, marketer, you might not want to go play Roblox, but maybe this place or these places that make sense to get started? And how do they actually get started?
Yeah, it's really important to understand, obviously, your product and your audience, and then you have to, you know, experiment and try to find the right metaverse for you. You mentioned Roblox. It's obviously in the news recently as well. That would skew probably younger for you. So if you, you know, try to find the audience that might be, you know, grown up or has the budget in 10 years from now, then Roblox is probably a very good place to start. And talking about changes, Roblox itself, of course, is trying to skew older, right? So they themselves adjust the platform, and they adjust the product offering on that platform to actually also include an older audience, right? So you know, Gen Z going towards the millennials. That is something that obviously every marketer has to do for themselves, figuring out, you know, what kind of products do I have and where do I find those metaverses that are actually most compatible. The good thing is, when you talk about the people that use the metaverse, obviously there's music is really important to them, gaming is really important to them, fashion is really important to them, self-expression is really important to them, all kinds of like digital services are really important to them. So it already helps you to kind of like narrow it down. You probably don't want to sell, you know, roses or real whatever, you know, picture frames in the metaverse today. That's probably need a few years until you have that right audience. But again, for those categories that I just mentioned, fashion, obviously, right? When you look at Gucci, for example, they're spending quite a budget on Roblox experience. So then I think you're in the right spot.
It's interesting. They might buy NFTs, but that's a totally different podcast episode. But where my brain really goes on this is the idea of the importance, even in the metaverse, of marketers having a good set of defined personas and understanding where the persona or the ideal client profile would live in the metaverse and being able to go in that direction. So I love that you boiled it down to that strategy of know the human. Now, the next question, Patrick, I have to ask it because it is a podcast for marketers. I will just say that usually my strategy, my tactic, my tip, my hack is to be the most human that I can be. But pertaining to the metaverse, are there some tips, tricks, or hacks that marketers should be thinking about or leveraging as they kind of get started and rolling in the metaverse area?
Yeah, when I look at the metaverse and when I look at the people that I find and meet regularly in the metaverse, I mean, those people are digital natives, right? Those people are looking for authenticity more than they care about whether or not a person is real or virtual, right? Looking at Polar, for example, it's more important for Polar to be authentic in her native environment, which would be, you know, the virtual and also the metaverse, rather than they care about whether or not this is a real person, right? So we have a team behind Polar that is creating the music, that's creating the animations, that's creating the voice and everything, that are integrating her into the various games, for example, not just the Vecan Life. We also partner with another metaverse experience actually called Byte City. We are planning to go live after Easter with a great 7-day event there. So again, I think it's really important that you keep in mind to be authentic. There are some examples when people try to artificially attach themselves to something. It doesn't even have to be the metaverse. I think usually those experiments fail. They're not successful. They're only artificially successful if you pump in a lot of marketing budget. Stay as close to your being a human, whatever the definition then of human is in the metaverse, but stay as close to your authentic self. That is, I think that's really important.
Tactical sessions, inspirational keynotes, off-the-clock antics. And let's not forget about immeasurable connections. What am I talking about? The B2B Forum, of course. For more than 15 years, the B2B Forum has been the conference where today's leading B2B marketers gather for insights, networking, and laughs. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's never too early to plan for success. Join us in 2023 in October for inspiration from B2B marketing experts. And I mean those marketers who walk the walk and know how to talk the talk in a way that you can understand. Get access to real-world actionable insights on the tactics and tools that work today and strategies that stand the test of time. When you say, well, on October 4th, you can join us for the B2B Forum full-day workshop for all access attendees. And on the 5th and 6th, well, spectacular conference shenanigans. That's right. If you head over to the B2B Forum website right now, you can sign up to join us October 4th through the 6th for some amazing education. And guess what? I'll see you next year at the B2B Forum. That's right. I'll be there. Will you?
Yeah, I'll keep it real simple. Just be you, boo, and go and have fun and engage with it and don't try to be something other than that. It's interesting because one of the things, Patrick, that I try to answer on this podcast too is like right fit. You know, and I could be completely wrong, but it's hard for me to think of like an auto mechanic there being a reason for them to be on the metaverse. Or you even mentioned like somebody who sells roses or flowers or something like that. And so when we think of this fit conversation, the B2B marketers that listening, like, who's it for? Meaning what companies are just like no-brainers, you should be there like yesterday? And who would you kind of warn, if anybody, like, it might not be your jam?
I think for me, no-brainers are all kinds of fashion companies, companies selling any kinds of, you know, makeups, accessoires, for example. And the reason I'm saying that, when Polar gave this concert with 2.2 million followers, we had over 100,000 hours, actually, of people watching Polar perform. During those 7 days, where she was the headliner, we also sold digital merch, not NFTs, but we sold digital merch. People could actually buy clothes of Polar. They could buy her hair. They could buy even her dance moves. They could buy her mask. They could, you know, buy a lot of things that then helped their avatars inside the game to actually turn into Polar. And I think that's a real great proof of concept for anybody really trying to not just sell digital products like we've been doing, but also physical products, right? How cool would it be if any fashion brand would be associated with one of the, you know, digital artists in the metaverse today? And then the people are not just wearing the clothes in the game experience, but then also having an opportunity to buy the same clothes offline and wearing them in real life. I mean, this for me, for example, is a no-brainer, and everything around fashion and clothing fits into the very same argument.
I like that. So the takeaway for the marketing smarts audience is, I would say, you know, think about what you just heard, and is there room for digital products? Are there ways that you can combine digital and physical products together? Is that the way that the humans that you want to serve or you're helping to get to their aspirational points? Is that the way they work? So, man, Patrick, anytime we try to learn something new, anytime we try to get started, anytime we try to do like those tactics and strategies, like we're just going to be faced with some hurdles, or what I like to call hurdles or potholes, and synonymous. We're either going to knock ourselves off the track or we're going to like fall down because we can't jump high enough. But are there hurdles along the way that you would want to warn the marketing smarts listeners of before they get stuck or get knocked off the track and just end up failing at their attempts at testing and leveraging the metaverse?
Yeah, I think it's really important if you try out a lot of different things, especially new things, to prepare yourself that not all of your ideas will actually turn out to be, you know, successes, right? Probably all going to be learning experience, but not all going to be a success. Like for the Soul Publishing, for example, we strive to be a leader in digital innovation, and we are, you know, exploring a very wide range of different, you know, metaverse touch points and music and gaming and e-commerce. So not all of our projects are immediately successful. What we do look for, what I like to focus on, are minimum viable products, right, or minimal viable services. So I mentioned earlier that we put some of our videos into Avakin Live. That was actually part of a tiered approach, not to invest, you know, millions into an experiment. So what we've done first is, to be very honest, even earlier than that, it was a very frank conversation with a couple of friends of mine who are running Lockwood Publishing, and we talked about our audience, right? And then after understanding that we have the same or a very similar audience between Polar and Avakin Live, we then said, okay, let's test that, right? Let's not just talk about it, but let's actually test it. So we put the videos in. Those videos then, as I mentioned, performed very well. As a next step, then Polar actually, she didn't give her concert yet. She actually gave the world premiere of her song "Close to You" in Avakin Live. So again, it's one test point, and then the budget for the next one is a little bit bigger. The budget for the next one is a little bit bigger. So I didn't go, or we as a company, we didn't go all in. We started, you know, in bite-sized chunks that we could actually justify to ourselves. And we're doing those bets not just in Avakin Live, but we are right now doing it with Byte City. We're talking with a couple of other, you know, gaming companies with a number of other metaverse experiences to do very similar approach. So that probably is, you know, one of the advice I can give to everybody. Like, you do not have to move into the metaverse with, like, you know, 100,000, 500,000, 1 million or 2 million budgets. You can probably do things already with, you know, like 10,000 or 20,000 or maybe 50,000 in budgets and experiment. Get the data. Really important. Get the data. Go away from the hype, right? Everybody is talking metaverse, and that seems to be kind of like, you know, like a magic key, you know, that unlocks all your, or that solves all your problems. It's definitely not. It's something that needs to be evaluated for each company. It's not for every company, but for some of those companies, this podcast we talked about, some of those that would fit, it's a great opportunity, and they can, again, iteratively approach the metaverse.
I love that. Don't believe the hype, which, by the way, if you're listening to this and you get that reference, you can let me know, #MPB2B, what I just did there. But what came to mind that's more important is, Patrick, you just did a really eloquent job of, I had a conversation which led me to a theory, which led me to a test, a little bit bigger of a test, a little bit bigger of a test, and then just kind of growth over time into this. It's a very simple way to kind of get started. And I love that it could be 5, 10, 20,000 instead of like 1.2 or 2 mil. This makes it open for some of the listeners to actually start to think about engaging. And I would even force them to think, is there a way that you could even do it in a more human way, in a less expensive way, to do some of these tests? That's up to you. Patrick, folks are listening to this. They're learning about the metaverse. But are there other places that marketers, maybe just humans, to be honest with you, can learn more about the metaverse and how to interact with it, how to be part of it? Like, is there a place to go to that's like the thought leaders of this space?
Yeah, probably, you know, after this podcast, you know, go into your kids' room and, you know, spend like an hour with them, you know, navigating on the iPad, navigating on their phones, navigating on their laptops. They know, you know, significantly more than I do. Probably, you know, my 7-year-old son is more of an expert in the metaverse than I am, because he is really native, right? For me, I'm getting into it and I'm learning about it. And of course, I have a gaming background. I've been doing entertainment for 16 years. I've been managing gaming experiences and games itself. So obviously, I, you know, have had a very early start with the metaverse, but still, I'm not what I would consider native in this one. And that would be one way definitely of getting used to it. Spend an hour with your son playing Roblox. I think that will probably tell you more than any book that you could read, and would be really my honest first advice to all of you guys out there.
I love that answer so much, because that means Marketing Smarts, we're promoting family time worldwide. That's right. Spend time with your kids and learn about the metaverse. Here's the thing. One of the things I like to do, Patrick, is figure out what in the world is the aspirational point, the mountaintop, the gold medal around your neck, you know, if you're in the Olympics or something like that. How, as a marketer, do you know that you've reached marketing metaverse nirvana, if you look, like, what does success look like?
Yeah, probably different for everybody, but apart from, you know, the obvious return on advertising spend or return on investment as a very clear KPI that I do think everybody should look at regardless of all the other things. You know, the metaverse is new, so when you establish thought leadership, when you have an opportunity to, you know, be in a podcast with yourself, George, as well, I think that's a really good indicator when you do projects that are critically acclaimed, not just by the newspapers, but also by the fans. And the great stuff in the metaverse is you have direct feedback, right? When you do traditional TV campaign, it might take some time before somebody tells you how they actually perceived it. But once you do something in the metaverse, you have direct commentary, feedbacks, chats, you have people doing memes, you know, and if the memes are positive, then that is also certainly a great indicator of success. If you really push the boundaries of something that hasn't been done before, but is then being done again afterwards, right? Like, let's talk about the very first metaverse concert that existed, right? I think the people that pushed the boundary there, and the marketing teams that got attached to that, they really, you know, delivered a proof of concept that is defined by who else and what caliber of people are trying to replicate this success, right? So these would be my apart again from the obvious KPIs would be my definitions of success in the metaverse.
So good. So Patrick, you've been on a journey, a metaverse journey, if you will, and you've learned a lot along the way. And so landing this plane today, I always love to ask, what are some words of wisdom? And so what are some words of wisdom that you would want to leave the Marketing Smarts audience with pertaining to the metaverse, being more human, testing? We've talked about a lot of things here today, but what are those final words of wisdom?
Final words of wisdom in regards to the metaverse is, again, be aware that the metaverse is an evolving thing, that it will be different a year from now than it is today, and that you and your team and your company can actually be part of that and not just participate, but proactively shape it, right? With great ideas, with innovative, you know, thoughts and projects that you're putting out. You don't have to spend millions, despite some, you know, popular news articles. You can actually create minimum viable product services and iteratively move forward in the metaverse. We've done that at The Soul Publishing. It worked really well for us. I think other companies can replicate that. And indeed, be aware that there is a new audience, right? The Gen Z, Gen Alpha, they are digital natives. They experience the metaverse, they experience digital differently than you or I, and they expect a different performance. They do not want anything that's artificially put in there, right? They will identify that really fast. And I think one of the success for Polar, for example, or for The Soul Publishing, is that we are digital first company. We are trying to make a native experience for all of our fans, you know, whether or not this is on social media, you know, where we have a billion followers, whether or not this is on music, where we have up and coming stars, or in the metaverse, where we do concert with millions of people. You know, we try to be as authentic as we can be. And very important, we listen to our fans. When you see what Polar's first experience in the metaverse has been, then you see the fans' comments, and then you see the second experience, you will definitely see that we listen to so many of the fan feedback. And I think that's the other really positive thing in the metaverse. Like, be ready to be quick and fast and agile, because you will get immediate feedback, positive or negative, and you need to be able to take that feedback and to turn it into new product ideas, and you need to, you know, keep delivering on those experiences, because that's what your fans are going to expect.
So, Marketing Smarts listeners, did you take lots of notes? I have to ask, what is your hashtag one thing? Your number one execution opportunity after this podcast. Make sure you reach out and let us know in my inbox or on Twitter using the hashtag MPB2B. Also, I have to ask, are you a free member of the Marketing Profs community yet? If not, head over to mprofs.com/MP today. You won't regret the additional B2B marketing education you'll be adding to your life. Hey, listeners, we'd like it if you could leave us a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. But we'd love it if you'd share this episode with a coworker or friend. Until we meet in the next episode of the Marketing Smarts podcast, where we talk with Melanie Diesel about why B2B marketers, yep, that's you, need to prove it with a trust-building content strategy, I hope you do just a couple of things. One, reach out and let us know what conversation you'd like to listen in on next. Two, focus on getting 1% better at your craft each and every day. And finally, remember to be a happy, helpful, humble B2B marketing human. And we'll see you in the next episode of the Marketing Smarts Podcast.